the meaning of that name is a smile. Muskan means a smile. So in Hindu culture, we actually have this whole like naming ritual. We have this process where we get a priest, and there's like a naming ceremony where the priest looks at your astrological charts and picks a letter, and that, you know, you consult with the elders of the family to decide what sort of name you want. So my grandma is the one that named me that, and I think she's done a good job because it suits my personality like 100%. I try to be as happy as I can. I'm in my final year of a undergrad degree in psychology, so I'm doing a Bachelor of Arts with honors, and along with top courses, basically I'm writing a thesis, and I'm investigating the lived experiences of New Zealand tertiary students that are living with disabilities.
I came here when I was 4 years old. So basically, I remember very little about my childhood in India, but at the same time, I'm very connected to my culture because we, you know, keep flying back and forth. But also because my parents have kept those values alive. So you know, like all the prayer, all the festivals, and you're supposed to clean your room, do as you're told, eat 3 meals a day Indian food, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I came here when I was 4, and I've basically grown up in this country, and it's like just the best, because it's the best. we basically moved here because of me, because when I was born, I was diagnosed with partial hemiplegia affecting my right side, so that's partial paralysis. And the doctors had said that I wouldn't live for more than 100 hours. And I had a lot of other complications, like, you know, my lungs weren't working, they were underdeveloped, I had a hole in my heart, my eyesight was weak, so I was prescribed glasses. And then to compensate for the muscles that were weak in my right side, I had to wear a brace on my foot. I was in a splint, you know, for most of my life growing up, because it helped me with walking, because I had balance problems, I couldn't coordinate. And basically, we just moved here, and it's been home ever since. The sad part of my story is that, as talkative as I am now, growing up, I was very socially isolated, and I didn't know how to make friends. I couldn't talk to people because people always used to, you know what it was like, you know, the bullying and the rejection and the loneliness and the nobody talks to me and I don't know how to talk to people and everybody's saying bad things about me and all that. So because of that, I closed myself off from people, obviously, self-defense mechanism, and I turned to books. So I spent a lot of time on my own. I discovered the wonderful place called the library, and every single break, lunchtime, I used to go and sit in the library, find myself in a book, sit down and read until the bell rang and come back into class. Basically, I went to school just for academics because I was a good student and teachers always praised me, but no social skills whatsoever. And to this day, like, I'm very firm about boundaries and selectively picking who to trust and who not to, because I can't go down to that dark place ever again, because obviously I had self-esteem issues, self-worth issues, didn't think my life was worth living. Actually, by the time I was 11, I was having suicidal thoughts. There just came one day, by the time I was in intermediate school, I just sat down with myself and I said, Muskan, something's not working out. Your life is not what you want it to be, right? You need to understand who you are first. And I said, look, this is how it's going to be. I can't change it. So I'm just going to accept myself and get the hell on with my life, because I've got other things to do. And then opportunities started coming in. That's why I view myself as an opportunist, because when I see something that I can grab it. I don't shy away. Yeah, so basically I said, look, this is how it's going to be. I'm going to accept myself. I'm going to get on with my life. I'm going to do things that make me happy now. And I know my strengths because I've spent so much time on my own. I knew that I had a way with words. I could write. I could read. I could speak. I got offered a program on Radio Dharana, which is a Hindi radio station. And I worked as a radio host for nearly a year. So I used to host my own programs around what the life of a young child, young adults is like. So the things that we teens face, the things that we deal with, and what is so openly talk about issues. And that obviously polished my speaking skills. At 14, I was approached by TEDx Auckland to speak about my life story. Obviously, I said no, because I was scared off my pants looking at mum. They emailed mum and they approached her and said, can we do this? And I came home from school one day. It was a funny story. I came home from school one day. I asked her what's for lunch. She didn't tell me what's for lunch. She said, Ted has emailed me. You've got an event in August this year. They want you to speak for them. Like, whoa, slow down. I looked up Ted and I saw what this was, and I ran down. I said, no, I'm not doing it. You must be crazy. I'm not going up in front of 2,500 people and sharing my life story. I still remember clearly the day I said, yes, Mum, I'd do it. My mum just rolled her eyes and told me, I told you so. Like, there was a part of me that started getting excited. I was like, oh my God, public speaking. Like, I'm going to get to speak on such a big platform. I'm going to reach so many. It was the reaching people. And I had the best freaking time I could have ever had, you know. It was one of the best things. It's made me who I am today. Because after that, I started getting so many other offers to speak at events. And I started enjoying it. If there's any way that you can put yourself out there to help someone or to appreciate someone who may be struggling with themselves, you know, you shouldn't step back. You should put your hand out forward and say, like, hey, I'm here to help you. Like, you can talk, you should be that person. And once you start becoming that person, you find that people come forward and they give you the same thing back. By the time I halfway through year 12, I actually knew that I wanted to be of human service. I wanted to do something that helps other people. And because of my own struggles with mental health, I thought that I could see myself as a psychologist, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And so that was my goal. And I am now in my fourth year of completing my dream degree, very stressfully, but I'm having a good time. No matter how many breakdowns I have, I always have coffee and ice cream. There is still a part of me where there's that little girl there who's very scared, and she doesn't want to trust people. And I'm glad to be living, basically, because you've only got one life, right? You might as well make the best use out of it and do whatever you can, however you can. Sometimes decisions seem a little crazy and you think that you're going crazy, you've lost your mind, it doesn't seem right, but unless you take that risk, you're not going to know where it leads you.